T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Download that Odyssey app, baby. You're going to love it. Brought to you by DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified. Back to the phones, Priest in Palo Alto. Hello, Priest. Priest, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Guess not.
Priest was so shocked by everything Ren had to say that he's speechless.
First of all, he didn't throw the ball to the referee either. He placed it on the ground, which was the problem because you're sitting there in the waning seconds of a ball game. By the way, Carson, he drilled that 55-yarder. Drilled it.
Yeah, he did.
So it was and the interception in the end zone, I think that that's a game-winning touchdown if Derek Carr takes like 12 miles an hour off of that throw. I mean, a little touch there, Derek, please. And then he threw another bullet pass to just get into Carson field goal range. It was the best pass of the night. Like, that was the one time that Peyton Manning was like, that's a good pass.
But the problem is that it's not that Snead didn't catch it. It's that he didn't get a hand on it. There was no deflection. It went between his hands. And I refuse to believe that Derek Carr can throw the ball that hard that a professional receiver can't at least miss the ball by at least touching it.
I got to say, it was a little hot, but I didn't feel like that was one of those uncatchable missiles from 5 yards away. Like, a little hot, but I thought Snead should have caught it. I really did.
But just to get a finger on it, change the trajectory if you can't catch it. I mean, it literally, his hands were, you could have thrown a second football between his two hands.
Benjamin in Vallejo, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey guys.
What's up?
How are you?
Excellent.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about those Manning brothers. I mean, I just got in the car, so I don't know if you guys have talked about this, but to me, the thing that stood out is the love between those two boys. They love one another. Only Eli can talk to Peyton the way he did, talking about the size of his head, and he asked him if he sprayed Pam on his forehead to make it shine like that.
Yes.
Only brothers can do that.
Totally.
And he also, they brought out the Tennessee picture with the sheriff thing, and he was giving him hell. Like, were they even calling you the sheriff of Tennessee? Did you dress back up as a college kid when you were 40 years old? Like, Eli was giving as good as he was getting. I thought, look, Peyton's personality is electric, but we knew that already. I thought I saw more personality out of Eli in the space of one half of football than I have in his entire career.
What you saw out of Eli is he's smarter than you ever thought he was, but he's also smart enough to let his big brother do all the heavy lifting. And like all little brothers, you'll never be impressed by your big brother. You know, you're just going to cut him down whenever you get the opportunity. And that it was fantastic.
Well, one other thing. That was probably the first time Eli Manning has not been speaking in public to an audience of people he either had to keep happy or didn't know at all. Because most of the time when we've heard him speak, it's about the team he was on or the team he was playing. And football players get programmed. Don't say anything that's going to annoy your opponents or offend your teammates. I think, you know, basically, for the same reason that the broadcast worked in general, he was working without those bumper guards that you see in bowling alleys. They just let it rip. And that's that to me is the takeaway. Just when you take the structure away, Yeah, it could be scary for most of the people employed by the NFL. But for those two guys, it was a chance to expand and a chance to be better than the pre-programmed nonsense we get 16 times a week for 17, now 18 weeks.
Well, and think about it, too. There's an element of, I don't even need this. Like, you're lucky that I said yes to doing this. So what are you going to do? Fire me? Like, Peyton Manning could have ripped ESPN over the way they handled the Rachel Nichols, Maria Taylor thing. And they're back on Monday next week. Like, he is untouchable. And when you're untouchable, you can pretty much say anything you want. And they did. It was good. I really, really liked it. 888-957-9570. Corey in Petaluma, what did you think of the Brothers Manning broadcast?
I thought it was actually pretty good. I actually wanted to get your guys' input on comparing it to John Madden. I'm a pretty young guy. I always saw the end of John Madden's career, but I wanted to see what you guys thought about it.
So, Corey, I'll say this about John Madden. John Madden brought more lighthearted humor into a level of analysis that had been there before. The guy was just, you know, he's the kind of guy you'd love to sit at a bar with and have a few drinks with. And that's what he made it feel like. But he was still working, you know, with either Pat Summerall or Jim Nance there or Al Michaels. And they were very much more dress right dress and respectful of NFL protocol, shall we say. You know, Madden would be great when he'd be like, look, this is Gatorade bucket and this is the mama Gatorade bucket and over here is the baby bucket. Like, just goofy stuff like that is what really made him stand out. But he didn't bring you nearly the level of analysis and, like, veiled criticism that last night's broadcast provided.
But when he first started, he did do that because he went in going, this is just going to be a lark I do for a while, and then I'm going to go back to owning half of Contra Costa County. The fact is, he wasn't just sound effects. He brought you the way the game looks to a coach for the first time. And he did it equally unfiltered, because he didn't use a ton of notes from the PR people or the network PR people. He used his own eyesight. I mean, later on, he started doing more of the shtick because that's what drove the engine. But at the beginning, he was a lot more like the Mannings were last night, which is, I'm going to operate without a net because nobody's ever done what I do the way I want to do it. And he actually didn't start that way. His first network stuff was pretty boilerplate, and it didn't work well. And that's when he said, okay, if you want to bring me back, you got to bring me back the way I want to come back. And working without the net is exactly what worked for him. And again, the shtick came later, but in those early years with Summerall had the wit to let him go, and he had the wit to go. And that's the similarity.
And let's be honest, there is no replacing genuine chemistry. And obviously, yeah, Brothers had genuine chemistry. Again, I missed the Travis Kelce, the Ray Lewis, and the Charles Barkley portion of it, because I was either upstairs, spent a little time with the family, watching Giants baseball, or I had it on the actual Monday Night Football ABC broadcast because I just didn't think I would be that interested. But I'll even give it up to my buddy Flanders. Flanders, if it weren't for you saying you got to check this out, I don't think I would have. He's texting me last night. He's like, seriously, man, you got to check this out. And I watched it and was instantly drawn in. I'm like, what? This is better than I thought it was going to be. This is really interesting. This is kind of funny. And I got in for the Russell Wilson portion of it. And Russell Wilson was really interesting. Really, really interesting. Gil Brandt, by the way. I got to give Gil Brandt all the credit in the world. When the Raiders are sitting there on the goal line, he's like, boy, did Peyton Manning just miss the opportunity to ask Russell Wilson what kind of play he would run in this moment. I thought that was a great observation. But yeah.
They did have the exchange about rings. Did you catch that?
No.
Oh, no. So Ciara at the Met Gala was wearing the Seahawks Super Bowl ring. She had a dress that was like a Seahawks 3, basically. And she was wearing the Super Bowl ring that Russ won over the Broncos and Peyton Manning. And Peyton sees the photo. They put the photo up on the screen, and Peyton's like, oh, man, she's got a ring I want, that's for sure. And Russell goes, hey, well, you know, Tom's got a couple got a ring I want, so like we'll have to call it even or something like that. Like
I'm unlimited.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff like that, and even though he didn't ask him that question there, I thought he asked him some really interesting questions about the running quarterback thing. And Eli and Peyton had no end of fun between each other about like. I don't know why we're pretending like we know anything about a running quarterback, but we're trying to explain it. And then they brought Russell in, and he was actually able to give some insight.
By the way, just to get back to football a tiny bit, are we downgrading Lamar Jackson just a touch? Because that was you're going to need to throw your team back into this game, and that wasn't going to happen. Now, he was pressured, I think, more often than he wasn't last night. It looked like there was someone in a Raiders jersey making him uncomfortable, which is a level of defensive line play that, you know, thumbs up, didn't expect to see that. But, man, I just think that you got to take whatever you thought of the Baltimore Ravens, and I know that some of you will interpret this as a shot at the Raider victory. It's not. I'm downgrading the Baltimore Ravens. That's a banged up, not ready to go, more offensive line problems than I thought they would have, and no, that just didn't work last night. Maybe it's early season. John Harbaugh will iron it out. But I would, if you're saying, what's the season over-under on the Ravens, I go ahead and take the under right now based on that.
I think you also saw a team with no reliable running game.
Yeah.
As simple as that. It's a one-dimensional team, and until they get somebody who can run the ball with even half the facility of Lamar Jackson – and maybe an upgrade at wide receiver, too, because those guys did not look special to me. So I don't know that this is on Lamar Jackson at all. I think injuries and the limitations of that roster were more at in display than Lamar Jackson.
You talk about a banged-up running game. Well, bad news for the 49ers running game. Raheem Mostert done for the year, unfortunately. We're going to come on back talking about that. More of your calls as well, 888-957-9570. And we're going to get into a Giants postseason appearance guaranteed. But you knew that a long time ago. Celebrated it anyway. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game. Make sure, again, you download the Odyssey app. Curated stations just for you. Get ready for a listening experience like no other. Brought to you in part by Macy's, Geico, and Coke Zero Sugar.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Fantastic to have you along today. We're going to have Alex Pavlovich join us at 4:30 this afternoon, taking us inside the Giants clubhouse, which was hard for all media to get in all year. I think some media was upset that they weren't allowed in there yesterday because there was a party in the clubhouse. Postseason ticket punched for the San Francisco Giants last night. Padres are still in town. Man, the Padres and Giants are going to be facing off against each other an awful lot over the final 3 weeks of this year. We're going to have our pal Darren Smith from San Diego be joining us tomorrow to talk about what kind of went wrong for the Padres this year. There's always more than meets the eye. So we've got all that coming up today. One more call about the Manning Brother broadcast. This is Steve in San Francisco. Hello, Steve.
What's up, Damon? It's Steve Amano at Tenichi Restaurant.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, buddy? So listen, last night, you know, we're watching that game, my buddy and I. You know, we watch every single NFL game. And, you know, we're used to hearing, like, you know, whoever it was, Brian Griese, I guess, yesterday, and I think Tirico. But, you know, honestly, every single game we watch, you know, we'll make the calls before they happen. We're like, oh, that's holding, or that's still in bounds, or that's that. And the commentators get it flat wrong until the referees come and say, oh, well, that play's actually, you know, they correct it. Last night, watching with Peyton and Eli and the guests, no mistakes were made. Everything was insightful. Like, that was the best way I've ever watched a game on TV. It's with real players, except for Charles Barkley. Like, the other guys, they knew what they were talking about, and it was great. It was so different to watch it that way. And I hope they keep doing it for seasons to come.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Steve, I think that the point you made that stood out the most to me is, instead of being broadcast to, you said it perfectly. You were watching with Peyton and Eli. And that's what really, I mean, it made it feel like I was sitting on the couch with them. And then here comes Russell Wilson. Would you like some scooch on over the couch, make a little room for Russell Wilson too? Well, yeah. Let's go ahead and do that. Pop a beer, pass the nachos, and let's just talk a little football. What can you guys teach me just by seeing? I mean, it is amazing. We can watch the same thing, and they see it on a three-dimensional level that, you know, none of us see the game on that level. And then there are some things where you're like, hey, you know, I saw that too. Maybe I do know a little something about football. Me and Peyton, we're simpatico, no doubt about it. Almost brothers.
It's the fact that there was no filter, though. I think that's the thing that just stands out to me, is that they were spotting what they were spotting right away. And I didn't notice this, and if either of you did, correct me, but I don't remember either of them having an earpiece in.
Yeah, they did.
They did? Well, that's disappointing. But
I think it's just because
to tell them, you know, okay, we're going to a break. But yes. I would like
and also to
think,
hear the guests, I think.
Okay, but I would like to think that the producer had the wit to otherwise tell them nothing.
Yeah, I'm not even sure they told them when they were going to break very successfully, because the break cut them off more than once. And honestly, that was another thing about it. In a weird way, all of the, like, there was some stepping on each other and the guest, and there was some, you know, the break came and we weren't expecting it, and I was in the middle of a sentence. And because of the format, I found all that kind of charming. Like, oh, look, the stars, they're just like us. They step on each other a little bit on Zoom. Like, none of it bothered me, because it was all, like you said, the feeling of we're just hanging out. And sometimes two people talk at the same time, and oh well, then one of them finishes and the other goes next. Like, it's not a big deal. I just, the sort of friendly, colloquial atmosphere of it all, in addition to the lack of a filter, I thought was great.
It felt like a gimmick. It worked. It really, really worked. And if they're doing it again next week, I will be watching again next week.
Oh, by the way, yes, they are doing it next week. It's a total of 10 games this season. So you were right. And it's not all the Monday nights, but it's more than half.
Again, we don't need this. You're lucky we're doing it. That's why we're going to say whatever we want, and you're never going to tell us what to say. I mean, that's the thing. It's no more the producer coaching them through segments, Ray, than, you know, Mark Grandy is coaching us through segments. He's just letting us know, got to go to break. I got a highlight that are, you know, I got a piece of sound that'll buttress the point that you're making right now, so on and so forth.
Speak for yourself. Grandy writes most of my material.
I did nothing. see, that's a really crummy thing you just did, is to pin the stuff that comes out of your pie hole on him.
Well, Kolsky, I don't know, man.
So, look, I hate that this is coming out of my pie hole, but it is, because it's the truth. Raheem Mostert and his season lasted a grand total of two plays. It's over. The news came out today. He announced on his Instagram that that's it, boys and girls. He is electing to have season-ending knee surgery instead of trying to put a little scotch tape on a serious injury. He is going to go ahead and shut it down in the name of being all the way right again when next season rolls around. And I'm not going to say that that is devastating news to the 49ers as much as it is devastating news to Raheem Mostert. That stinks. By the way, it's good that he secured the bag before that happened, and that's why you do it. That's why these players should ask for and demand all the money that they can get before a season starts, because you do not know how long that season is going to last in a sport this brutal. The 49ers have went out to make a move. They have signed former Lions running back Kerryon Johnson to their practice squad, and I don't know if he's ever going to be called up, but it's just another can to go in the cupboard in case you need some canned goods, because we are underground waiting out a war longer than we thought we were going to be. I'll just tell you right now that I feel terrible for the guy. He's a really, really nice guy. He's a very good running back. And it does hurt what the Niners are going to do, at least schematically, with speed. However, you know, we saw what happened with Trey Sermon, nothing happening in his professional debut, where he wasn't even allowed to dress. Meanwhile, Elijah Mitchell, dude, this is your shot. This is your shot. And much like Raheem Mostert was instantly a pleasant surprise when he was given the opportunity to get some carries, Elijah Mitchell's been a very pleasant surprise in the four quarters we've seen. It's only the most yardage ever by a rookie running back in the history of the 49ers. I don't care who they played. I don't care where they played. I don't care what the circumstances were. It's hard to become the first in any franchise that has had as long a history as the San Francisco 49ers. Brian Baldinger, on with the morning show today, said the early impressions of young Mitchell are good.
Well, I like exactly what the 49ers like. You know, I mean, they like the speed, and they covet speed, like top flight speed, like fourth. I think he ran a 4.33 at his pro day. That's what got him drafted. You know, you're coming from a smaller school, different program. Now, Louisiana plays a lot of big schools, so I'm not knocking the program. There's nine Division I schools in the state. But on the touchdown run, he hit the alley. It was a great, well-blocked play. But hit the alley, and that was it. You know, nobody was going to keep him out of the paint. It was a house call. So that's what I like, the speed. It looked like he's got good vision. We got to see what his contact balance is like. We'll know a lot more. He got a lot of carries. The touchdown run, it's pretty nice to see, you know, in his opening debut.
And I'll just say this. What's the one thing that you instantly subtract when you put Raheem Mostert on the shelf? You subtract from your overall team speed. Maybe not as dramatically, because this kid, not only does he have the speed, but he's got a little jitterbug in him, too. I mean, he had some real nice beat, you know, finding the hole cuts, and there was just a guy who has clearly been playing running back since he was a little kid, and he was very natural and comfortable in his first NFL game, and hopefully that's a harbinger of things to come, because they're going to need it now, officially.
Yeah, he's got fresh legs, too, because he hasn't played yet, and that's the thing that becomes more and more evident with running backs. It's that hit fast, because in a couple of years, you take enough punishment that you don't get to hit the hole quite as fast, unless you're exceptional. You don't get to make the cut quite as sharply. And so do all that while you can, because, you know, the Reaper stands behind the linebackers.
Yeah, and I mean, in a way, I guess that's a benefit to the Niners' current quarterback room, which has two rookies and a second-year player, or running back room, I should say. It's two rookies and a second-year guy in Hasty. And look, if Elijah Mitchell looks basically how he did week one, they're going to be fine. And based on everything we've seen since Kyle Shanahan arrived here, there's reason to believe that he can get that level of performance out of a long list of the right type of running back.
Mostert said today, after consulting with multiple doctors and weighing my options, I will be having season-ending surgery to repair my knee. This gives me without a doubt in my mind, the best possibility at coming back 110%. I have always come back stronger, and I will this time too. I have faith in myself, my doctors, my support system, my team, and my God. He makes no mistakes. I am gutted. This sucks. This is obviously not what I worked so hard for. I wish more than anything I could be out there on the field with my brothers. Thank you for your support in our decision. I'm far from done. And he signed it the Mostardotti, which is Maserati, I guess. And it really does stink. But maybe not as much as some of the fans that reacted. Because all I can tell you is anyone who watches a guy get hurt and thinks that he has done something to offend his team or ruin his fantasy season, if you think Raheem Mostert wanted to be hurt, you are a mouth breather. And there truly are an element of people who need to be banished from the internet. You know, free speech should not be for everyone, because there are just people who don't deserve to have their voice in the conversation. Now, if you want to attack a professional athlete for what he did or didn't do, either to or against the team that you root for, I'm guessing there's an element of that professional athlete needing to just have a stiff upper lip and just, you know, roll with the punches. It comes with the territory. This is the life you chose, and unfortunately, there is an element of society that is so miserable with itself, they only feel good by trying to make other people miserable too. People that anonymously attack athletes online are scumbags. But there's even a worse group out there. Because I'll chalk it up to, you know, it just comes with the business. You are a complete and utter scumbag if you're sending a man's wife death threats. And that's what happened to Raheem Mostert from some 49ers fans. The worst 49ers fans in the entire group. I want a level of these people being identified and dealt with. I'm serious. Like, if you are the kind of man or woman who watches someone get hurt and you think now's a good time to attack the wife, it's the equivalent of hitting a girl. In my mind, like, you want to throw a sucker punch at a guy? Well, I guess that's just, you know, comes with guy territory. It shouldn't anymore, but it still does. If you throw a punch at a woman, your hand should be cut off. I'd like to find the people that sent Raheem Mostert's wife death threats and remove 9 of their 10 digits. Like, we'll let you keep the pinky on your offhand so you can still ring doorbells. But that's it. That's all you should get. If you sent Raheem Mostert's wife a threat because her husband was hurt in a game, I hope your life becomes as miserable as it must be for you to do that in the first place. That's a level of scumbaggery that is just unidentifiable. And I know what scumbaggery is. I've seen some. I've been around some. Man, I might have even participated in some. But that's a level that is just unbelievable. You never mess with a man's family. Period. End of story. It's like the scene in Pulp Fiction where Travolta's talking about, you never mess with a man's car. You never key a man's car. Like, it would have been worth it me catching him just to have it happen. I wish these people could be caught, identified, and surrender all rights going forward, and 9 of your 10 digits should be cut off your hands. What kind of scumbag do you have to be? According to his wife, Devon Mostert, fans sent her hundreds, if not thousands, of direct messages on Sunday that included telling her Raheem should kill himself and be cut. She pleaded with fans to cease the heartless commentary on an Instagram post late on Sunday. And again, everybody's tough behind a keyboard. So let's remove the ability to use keyboards from some of these a-holes.
I don't know what you add to that. She's not a conduit for his business, let alone your hatred. And I think the only thing I would quibble with about what you said was you might have been a little too hard to your average run-of-the-mill scumbag. That's it. It's just the one that says, I want him to kill himself and get cut. It essentially tells you the intellects we're dealing with.
Yeah.
Cowards.
Even cowards have a better sense of morality than these people. I'm sorry, Matt.
No, I mean, Ray's right. I don't know that we have quite the right word to describe the level of, inhumanity it takes to watch a person get injured through no fault of their own. I mean, even if you feel like, Raheem Mostert, never should have signed him, he's injury prone, how you get from there to attacking his wife on the internet is truly beyond me. I legitimately cannot understand. I don't know how you even think of that. How the thought of, oh, God, that guy got hurt and now he's not going to play for my favorite football team, how that turns into I should go jump into his wife's DMs and say something foul it escapes me entirely. And I'm with you, Damon. To an extent, there's not much we can do about some of that stuff. If you're famous in any walk of life, and you're available online, you're going to get some online hate. And part of that comes with the territory, and it's not right, but it's life. People, the anonymity of people who are willing to go this far has to be taken away. Because, first of all, I think if it wasn't anonymous, 98% of it would go away. And the other 2%, you could hold them responsible. Because I'm pretty sure you can't legally threaten people in that way. So, you could just, there's probably a misdemeanor being committed there. So these people need to be identified. And if nothing else, everyone in their life should know who they are. I thought that guy was cool. No, he's sending death threats to NFL players' wives when they get hurt. He's a horrible person.
Right. This isn't a level of free speech. Someone's like, Damon, what are you getting all the Constitution? The Bill of Rights protects. The Bill of Rights should not protect you from being an a-hole to someone's wife over him getting hurt in a football game. There are levels to this. And that is an element of, that is not speech. That's harassment. And there are rules against harassment everywhere, all the time. The only time the harasser gets away with it is when it's done anonymously. So that's what I want, a level of anonymous internet interaction taken away. I mean, that is how you solve this in many instances.
This is all against all the there's harassment policies on all these social networks. So it's against the rules of the website they're using. But the problem is people are allowed to just create a random account with no accountability, send a death threat and delete it or whatever. It's not attached to anything. But it's not like Instagram is saying, yeah, go ahead and send death threats to whoever you want. It's free speech. No, you're not supposed to do that. It's against the rules anyway.
Yeah. And some Yahoo here, some Trumpian jackhole on the text line is saying, this is all free speech. What are you talking about? You got kicked off of things for free speech. First of all, I never got kicked off of anything, baby. If I got kicked off, what the hell am I doing here now? Second of all, I put my name on everything I've ever said. I've had consequences for things I've said, and that should happen. And also, death threats are not protected by free speech. That ain't free speech.
It's a felony.
So it's just, there is the fact that this isn't just a one-off. Like, there's always going to be a crazy person if you put 1,000 people together. But the fact that this is something that she says happened hundreds of people, if not thousands, I don't know how much she's exaggerating, but I mean, the fact that more than one person, that anybody would do this, is absolutely disgusting. Excellent. And if you want to make any point to support the right to do this, you're kind of a scumbag too. And your parents sucked at raising you. You are not anyone that is worth talking to. Period and end of story. Come on.
And again, I'll have one quibble. More than one is still one more than allowable. It's just, there's no way you can defend this. There's no way you can argue that free speech, when it's clearly against the law, there's no way you can defend that. And what you're doing is you're threatening people over the internet, and there are laws against that. I wish they had more teeth, and I wish there were ways that the people who monitor those social media sites could be more emboldened to just say, this is out of line, we're not letting that go through.
What I would love is for you to actually say this to Mrs. Mostert while Mr. Mostert were standing right there. You wouldn't, you cowards, because he would knock your teeth out and get a round of applause from me. I'm telling you, people need to be dealt with sometimes, man. You know, violence doesn't solve anything. Yeah? It's been known to shut a bully up real fast in a lot of towns I've lived in. People deserve to get their asses kicked for behavior like this. Straight up. Straight up. That is scumbaggery on a level that if you want to support it or defend it or talk about how someone would have a right to do it, screw you too. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
And we're back, folks. Welcome back. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game. That call, of course, Dwayne Kuiper. On NBC Sports Bay Area, three-run shot from Longo that made it 5-0 in the bottom of the first. And I'll tell you, what I cannot believe, Ray and Matt, is how well the Giants bullpen themselves through a game. I can't believe how comfortable the Giants look, and I can't believe with how comfortable I've become in bullpen games. And I guess it just takes a matter of getting used to things, and it takes a matter of having success with things that gets you used to things. But man, they have been very, very good when these situations have called for bullpenning themselves through an afternoon of evening or baseball. I mean, it feels like they are, you know, 4-0 or 5-0. I'm not looking at it, but in their last bullpen games, they've been crazy, Kolsky.
So one of the ways you know that, like, your relationship is developing and deepening with a person is you anticipate their needs. You know what I mean? And we've been doing this show a couple years now, and I feel like we have the sort of deep, abiding relationship where I know where your brain is going sometimes. And believe it or not, I had Joe Spadoni in the other room do a little bit of research on exactly this about 25 minutes ago.
Great job, Spadoni.
Thank you, Spadoni. In four bullpen games in the month of September, the San Francisco Giants have a 2.25 ERA. They've allowed 9 total runs, earned runs, in those four games. Because I had the same exact feeling. Like, when we headed into this stretch, and you're looking at the baseball reference page, and, you know, they got the names in bold are active, and they got a little thing where they break down these are the starters and the relievers, and there's only 3 bold names under the starters because they only have three starting pitchers on this team right now. I was terrified. I was thinking, man, you know, what a bummer. They held on all year long. They were the best team in baseball, and now right at the critical moment, they're going to have some tough ones. And I almost wonder if you even bring back Johnny Cueto or Alex Wood if they're healthy. I mean, I guess Wood had moments this year where he was really excellent, but I'm not the least bit worried going into a bullpen game right now. I feel like it's just as good a chance to have a good nine innings as with a good starter on the hill.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but as I've said many times, you don't sleep on Dominic Leone.
Look. Apparently, he celebrated last night better than anybody else, too. I saw that from a beat writer or two. We'll have to ask Pavs about that.
Yeah. No, it's a thing that has made the Tampa Bay Rays arguably the best organization in baseball for nearly a decade. It's that they don't adhere to standard tactical and strategic notions. I mean, they invented the opener. They've perfected it. And to the extent that Farhan Zaidi worked for Andrew Friedman in Los Angeles and Andrew Friedman came from Tampa, those philosophies have come with them. And the fact that they haven't gone out to get, you know, just another starting pitcher off the scrap heap, or the ones that they did get that they haven't employed, suggests that they've figured out how to make the opener work for them. I don't think it's a long-term strategy for them this year, but I think you'll see more of it in years to come.
Yeah. I mean, when you're having success with something, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Of course you want five starting studs to go out there and give you at least six a night. You know, that's the way it's always worked in my mind too. But yeah, I'm glad that my inclination that these bullpen games are going smashingly well has been proven in the ERAs and in the numbers. And I guess any pitcher, even a bullpen game, gets comfortable when you put a big, fat, crooked number up, and the Giants did once again yesterday. You know, we asked Alex Dickerson if they felt like more of a responsibility to go out and have even better at-bats during a bullpen game because it feels like your margin for error is a little bit different. And he said, you know, no, not really. It's not as dramatic as that. But here's how it ended last night. Here is the final call of the Giants getting their postseason ticket punched.
Got him. And that's the ball game, and for the Giants, they are headed to postseason for the first time since 2016, and a big hearty congratulations. The plastic has been hung in the Giants clubhouse, the champagne has been iced, and they will have a celebration tonight, the earliest clinch in franchise history.
It's unbelievable how early they've done this. I mean, there is just no element of statistics that you can attach to this team that, you know, will ever feel like, oh, yeah, you can expect that. That everything's been unexpected, even as good as they have been. No one expected them to be the first team in all of Major League Baseball to clinch a postseason appearance. But indeed, here they are. They have done it. And, you know, like we were saying, I don't know how the West is won, but I felt that I was feeling how the West would be lost, and that would be the Giants' injuries to their pitching staff, and they're going to have to go into the bullpen, and you try to do that, gets unsustainable real quick, especially you get cuffed around two nights in a row. It's just going to end. It's going to end worse than it could possibly end well. It ends with them crossing the finish line and breaking the tape before anyone else in baseball, and that is so unexpected. Everything about this season has been completely unexpected. And that's probably what makes it so special. To the guys who have been there before, I don't know how they all feel about the champagne a-popping. The guys who it's been a really long time since they've had it, we're very, very happy with it. I want to go right to Buster Posey. We don't hear much from Buster Posey, and he knows an awful lot about, you know, who the Giants have been, who they are with him, who they weren't with him at times, and he calls this year his favorite regular season ever.
Really proud of this group. I think start of spring training to ourselves, we set out, obviously, to make the postseason, and we had, you know, another goal in mind, which is still out there for the rest of the year. We know we've got our work cut out for us with the division, but I'm really proud of what we've accomplished. I mean, as far as regular season teams go, for me, this is number one. I mean, with the way we've played this year from start to finish has been nothing like I've been a part of.
I mean, I'm not saying that they backed their way into the playoffs in 2010, 12, and 14 because they, you know, they broke the tape. But they were usually the last to break the tape to get in there. And to just have this lead, which a lot of people... So let's say any other time in baseball history on September... What was yesterday? September 13th. That's right. Today's the 14th. Vote no. If it had happened at any other time, you would have said, well, it's great to be the first in, but man, they got 3 weeks now where they're going to maybe take their gas, foot off the gas a little bit, and they're going to be rusty the way that sometimes they say, well, this team has been, you know, catching wild card bye weeks. They're going to be a little rusty when they start. Maybe the wild card team will be a little bit better in.
It's
no.
Like what the White Sox are doing right now, basically. Everyone's right. Talking about, you know, are they going to sort of loosen their grip on high-level baseball because they're so far ahead of the division.
Right. How are you going to stay frosty when there's nothing to be frosty about? The Giants have to be frosty. The monster is still in their closet. The Dodgers are still right there. And as bad and as laying down to die as the Padres look like they are, they got bats in that lineup that can put up a big, fat, crooked number against your ace. I mean, they got some talent. It hasn't been clicking. But baseball's funny. One day it's gone, the next day it's back. So they have a very respectable San Diego team knocking on their doorstep more times than any other team between now and the end of the year, and the Dodgers are constantly looming. The reward for winning the West is so significant that, man, it's the best possible scenario. Not only are they in, but they're in and they still got a sprint.
Which is probably the best way to go in, because maybe you want to rest a guy here and there and maybe you can get away with that, but you can't do it wholesale. And one of the things that teams that have won divisions in the past have found is that when you get an extended break, like when you win by 10 or 12 games and then you have the extra 4 or 5 days before the playoffs start, you can develop a little rust. And the Giants don't have that option because if they're a wild card team, there's an excellent chance that they're going to host that wild card game against Adam Wainwright, who can stick it in your ear about as well as anybody in the game, even at his age. So that's all the motivation you need. It's don't get caught, you know, having to have a one-off to get in. You know, don't win 105, and because you didn't get the 106th, all of a sudden you've made your path harder, and you've let luck get into it. You know, that's the whole value of winning the division. And that's why Chicago, with, you know, 12 games, you know, between them and Cleveland, can get away with that. You know, they've earned the right to relax, but with relaxation comes danger that maybe you won't be as sharp as you ought to be when you got to play Houston in the first round.
I want to hear from Kapler. I want to hear from Farhan. And we will, as we welcome everybody to our 4 o'clock hour.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.